This morning we're going to talk about something that I think is unique in our group, that these people that we call Christ followers, is faithfulness. I read some commentary that I want to share with you about our society this week. It goes like this. The godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbors. Their flattering lips speak with deception. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? That sound like it would fit with our community, our society? You know where those words come from? The first part of it comes from Psalm, the 12th Psalm. The last part of it comes from Proverbs 20. Faithfulness is still something people are working on. And it's so amazing to me the things that we choose to be faithful in. In the South, we are crazy faithful to what? Football. And to a particular team. We went to Cartersville yesterday. And we're sitting there in Cartersville eating in a restaurant. And I go, Carol, I don't really like Cartersville. She goes, what's wrong with Cartersville? I said, do you realize what they did? She said, what? I said, they rescheduled a game from a Friday night to a Saturday night when we were going to play them because they thought it rained too much on Friday. We were a running team. They were a passing team. And so they rescheduled the game and got an advantage on us. But we lost that game. And one of the game missed a region chance to go to playoffs and finish in the region to take us to the playoffs. I said, they're cheaters up here. She said, how long ago was that? I said, I don't know. It seems like yesterday. She said, strap on like 9 years. You think you ought to get over it, you know? We are crazy faithful to things that don't matter. We are struggle to be faithful. Now, I look, after church, we can talk. I still think that matters a little bit, but, you know. We are crazy about that. Hallmark has a card, I think, that fits the mood of our time. And it says this, I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. And that's about as deep as most of us can make a commitment. I mean, how many of you have ever been on a diet for it to last, like how long? Anybody here got less than 2 days in the diet? You know, we have trouble being faithful. But in contrast to that, God exhibits to us and honors us with His faithfulness. Psalm 100 in verse 5 says this, the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. All generations. Do you realize that every time you see a rainbow, God is being faithful to a promise? That He would not destroy the world again with water. Now, I didn't say it rained too hard. It was dark after the rain last night. And that was a rain. We were driving home, and I thought, well, I'm glad I know that He's faithful to His promise. Because we got the starting of a good flood going here. Every time you pick up a Bible, we remember that He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. They will never pass away. Every time we gather together to worship, I'm reminded that He has said to us, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. And every time we come around this table, I am reminded that His word and His faithfulness says to me that He will be with me even to the end of the world. And if we allow His Holy Spirit to live in us, see, Paul says in Galatians 5:22-23, that if we'll walk in step with the Spirit, that faithfulness will be real and evident in our lives. And I'm not talking about faithful to just the football team. I'm talking about faithfulness to God, faithfulness to our families, faithfulness to ourselves, that we can be a people that exude and indeed are filled with faithfulness, that things like reliability and trustworthiness would be a part of who we are. that even in good times and in bad times, that we would be faithful, even in times when we don't understand what's going on, when I can't even figure out if it's a good time or a bad time. You know, sometimes I am so awash by what's going on in the world, I don't even know if it's good or bad. I can't figure out whether it's good or bad yet. But I can be faithful in all times. So what is faithfulness? I think we know it when we see it. We had a dog that was my dog. She was faithful to me. I never had to ask her for it. I never had to wonder. We get it. As a society, taken by dogs is because they're faithful. But what about us? What does it look like in us? I want to read you some definitions for faithful that I found, because I think in the total, there's something that we can hold on to. One of them says this: the character of one who can be relied on. Faithful to be trusted, reliable. The virtue of reliability. Faithfulness is love hanging on. It is love saying, I will not quit. There may be misunderstandings. There may be disappointments. There may be discouragements. Discouragements. But I will not quit. And folks, faithfulness is something. Look, most of us have no, we don't even see ourselves this way. And you know, if a husband says he loves his wife, and then he goes out and has an affair with her, how do you describe this man? What? Unfaithful. That's what we say about him. See, it's real easy for us to see it. It's real easy for us to see it when we're not that. And it's real clear. And no matter how many arguments this man may make, and no matter what he says, and he may say, I'm sorry, and you still would say, what? He was unfaithful. Faithfulness says that even though there are discouragements and disappointments, I will not let go. Now, I am not saying that there is not ever grounds for divorce. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being faithful, being willing to work things out. God has called me to be faithful. And that's a hard thing. He has not called me not to be reliable, not to be trustworthy. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4 challenges us to be faithful in our stewardship, what we do with what we have. Ephesians 6 talks about being faithful in our service. 1 Timothy 5 speaks to us about being faithful in our marriages. Revelations 2 speaks of us being faithful in our witnessing, how we share the gospel. Romans 12 says we're to be faithful in prayer. Colossians 1 speaks of being faithful in ministry. Revelation 17 says we're to be faithful in following the Lord. Proverbs 31 says speaks of faithful instruction. 3 John says we are to be faithful in the truth. Revelation 13:10 speaks of faithfulness even in times of persecution. And Revelation 2:10 says we are to be faithful unto death, and then we will receive the crown of life. So it is not just in a marriage, it's not just in a family. See, character traits are something that work in all parts of our lives. I can't be faithful to a football team, faithful to my wife, and unfaithful in how I handle what God has given me, and God called me faithful. I can't be faithful in my church attendance, but I'm not faithful in my prayer life, and be faithful in the eyes of God. Faithful is a thing that the faithfulness is something that infects and affects all parts of our lives. And I think that's the hardest part about this idea here, is that it would be something that we are all the time. And how do I become trustworthy and reliable and faithful all the time? I mean, what has to be in me to make me do that? See, only when I walk with the Spirit is that am I capable of such a thing. Outside of that, it is not natural, is it? I mean, how many people do you know that you really call faithful? It's kind of a unique thing. If you watch the movies, it's amazing to me. I am not much on my movie appreciation slot is about this wide. You know what I mean? I don't really have much for romantic comedies and love story. I like, if there's not, really it needs to have some shooting in it for me really to like it, okay? I just go, that's just the truth, all right? If you mix up some love with some shooting, I can watch it, but just love, maybe not. And it is amazing to me what people call, if you watch the movies, you know, that they celebrate. Like, I don't know, there was, I don't even know the title of it, but there was just, these people are having an affair. And it lasts for like 4 days or, I don't know, some crazy short amount of time. And this woman is falling back to this perfect love for all, and I'm like, perfect love, 4 days? And it's an affair. She was a married lady. I'm thinking, what is wrong with this picture? Where is faithfulness in 4 days? In a life that is in a relationship that's outside the bonds of marriage? Come on. And that's the picture we're given in our society. That's what the devil distracts us from what real faithfulness is. And it's hard for us to understand that faithfulness is love hanging on when there's all kinds of distractions and when there's all kinds of disappointments and when you don't understand everything, you just keep hanging on. You keep doing the right thing for the right reason. You know, that is faithfulness, folks. It's keeping on. And that is hard for us to grasp. You know, what's a long time to do something? What's a long time to do something? You know, here's our problem with faithfulness. When I ask that simple question, what's a long time to do something? You know what everybody here would say? Depends on what it is. What's a long time to go without eating French fries? 2 days. Okay? You know, if you ask me what's a long time to go without eating fried green tomatoes, it, 30 years is not a long time. It won't bother me. I don't eat them. Okay? I mean, we have this idea that based upon our likes and dislikes, what we enjoy and what we don't enjoy, that we get to attach the definition of faithfulness based on the things that we like and don't like. And if you read the passage in here, Paul says, you will be faithful. He doesn't say, oh, you only have to be faithful in the things you like. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a big trick they played on me. When you get into ministry, you know what? You know what's a part of your job? Moving tables and chairs. They don't tell you that when you're signing up to be the preacher. They talk to you about sharing the Word of God. Teaching people. They don't say that they got to have a place to sit down if you're going to talk to them. And that you're going to have to move the tables and set up the chairs. And if the place is not set up when the people get there, you know what? They think you're not prepared. They have really no appreciation for how long you might have studied on the lesson. I don't know where to go. Where am I going to sit, preacher? And I found out that even though, I must admit, I get tired of, and we are a church that we don't ever do the same thing in the same room for long. So we move tables and chairs around here. I found out that even though I didn't like it, I need to be faithful in moving chairs and tables. And faithfulness means, you know why? Because guess what? In the good times and in the bad times, and in the times when I don't understand why people can't just grab a chair and unfold it and sit down in it all by themselves, I need to keep hanging on and do the right thing for the right reason. And the right thing is prepare environment so that people can receive the Word of God. And so I become faithful even in doing the things that I don't like. So what's it look like? I mean, it looks like moving chairs if you're a preacher. But how do I get this idea? What do I use for my example? Where do I go to? Well, folks, look at Jesus. Jesus, that's the most, you know, when you ask people about Jesus, you know what most people say? What's special about Jesus? Love, grace, mercy. Well, you know what? Is love love if it's only sometimes? Is grace grace if it's only sometimes? How would you feel about the grace that Jesus offered you if it was only on Monday through Friday? Who here would be in trouble? Yeah. You know, what if love was on, look, I went to a restaurant, it's open, or I went to actually it wasn't a restaurant, it was a park. They're open Wednesday through Saturday. How would you feel if the love of God was from Wednesday to Saturday? Jesus, all of that becomes so special to us, His love and His grace and His mercy and what He did for us, His sacrifice, all of that becomes so special because it is undergirded, the foundation of it, the basis of it is His faithfulness. He never changes. He never stops loving me. He never quit offering me grace. He never quit having mercy for me. He never stops. He is always faithful. Even when He was hanging on the cross, and even when He had been beaten and they had torn His hide off and He's wearing this nasty crown that's cut His forehead and He's bleeding down His face and He is dying. And they say, look, get off. Come down. Walk away. Prove it to us. He hangs there. And He gives His life. He is faithful to God's will for Him, for me. And folks, as He hangs there on the cross, do you understand what He says? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Folks, that's faithfulness. That's faithfulness unto death. And that's our picture. That's our desire. To be people that do what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. To continue to be faithful. See, if I'm not reliable, if I'm not trustworthy, if I'm not faithful, if people only occasionally get grace from me, it's hard for them to trust in the gospel message that I share about Jesus. How can I share about a faithful, always loving, always graceful, always merciful God if I'm rarely like that? If I'm only sometimes a little graceful. And see, Jesus sets this tone, this bar that's really high. And what's most amazing, and He says to Billy, you can be like me. In fact, I'm calling you to be like me. You can be faithful. And see, I think one of the reasons that most of us struggle with this whole idea is, you know what I'm convinced of? Have anybody ever failed in faithfulness? And so what do you do? Well, I can't. It's not in my nature. I give up. I'll quit. That's the preacher's job. I can't be faithful. I'm just a sinner. And look, I am a sinner. And I still make mistakes. And no, I will never be as faithful as Jesus. But there is a standard there. There is an idea that I could live a life where I could exude this trait, this quality, that people would see faithfulness in me. I read a story about a man. It was most amazing. He had he described himself kind of as a loner. He had five friends. And he began to be in a relationship with God. He says, I need to pray for my friends. And he prayed for 5 years before the first one of his friends was converted. He continued to pray for his friends, and at year 10, you know what happened? One more of his friends came to Christ. And he continued to pray for those same five guys. And at year 25, the third one finally came to Christ. And the fourth one came at 50 years. The man prayed for 50 years for his friends. At 52 years, the last one of his friends finally came to Christ. And when the man passed, you know what they wrote on his headstone? Faithful. Folks, I want to tell you something. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus makes a difference in Billy's life is he's faithful. It so stands out in contrast to what happens in our society that it makes him obviously different. And faithfulness changes people's lives. It's the thing that they see. It's the thing that one of the things that makes us different and unique. It's one of the things that allows for our witness to have standing with people. So how do I develop it? What do I do to get better at it? Well, I want to start by saying, you know, how many of you have ever seen a fruit tree? Maybe an apple tree. How much time do you think an apple tree spends going, should I make apples or should I make peaches? Apples or peaches? Why do you think it always makes apples? Because it is an apple tree, okay? That's what apple trees do. And when we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, when we walk in step with the Spirit, as Paul says, when we are a branch attached to a vine, that's how Jesus said. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're me, you make much fruit. Outside of me, you make what? No fruit. You make no fruit, what do I do with you? I cut you off. That when we are in Him, in Christ, when we walk in step with the Spirit, it's the natural thing for us to do. I don't have to sit around and think about it and analyze it. I don't have to decide, do I want to be faithful? Is this, you know, and for most of us, this is our hard part when we pick up this whole thing that Paul says here in Galatians 5. So we go, I don't know if I can do all of these, I'll pick some. When in fact, Paul says, you can do all of them. And that to me is profound. Temptations are going to come. Just as surely as Jesus was tempted to be unfaithful, we will be tempted to be unfaithful. In all our relationships, that's what Satan does. That's his business. Do you understand that faithfulness is the thing that Satan most dislikes in us? So he will go to extraordinary efforts to help us be unfaithful. He is going to give you the way out, you know, where you can tell the little lie where you don't have to be totally reliable and nobody will know. He's going to make it so you don't have to, you know, look. He's going to say, look, you don't. It doesn't matter what you do with your money. Nobody knows except you. It doesn't matter if you put an offering in an offering plate. It doesn't matter if you're faithful to God. Nobody knows but you. And you know in your heart that's not true, but you're distracted by what he tells you. Nobody will know what you watch on the TV. It's just you and the TV. Nobody's home. Nobody knows. Nobody will know. You know what I figured out? As soon as I hear those kind of words, and I'm not crazy. The preacher doesn't hear words. But as soon as I have those thoughts, nobody will know. You know what? You know how I've learned to grow in my faithfulness? As soon as I hear that, I've realized? That is the devil's way of saying it's okay to be unfaithful. And as soon as I hear it, I'm going, uh-oh. Now, see, now it's a trigger for me. It's going, I'm fixing to be unfaithful to God. I can feel it coming. Ooh, problems, Billy. Issues. Be aware. And that's how we grow in our faithfulness. And maybe it's not. Nobody will know. Maybe it's another trigger or signal for you. Maybe it's, I'll tell you another one. I got nothing to do. The Bible's clear about idle hands. As soon as I go, boy, I got nothing to do. You know what usually comes out after that? Something I shouldn't be doing. They go together real often. I don't know about y'all, but it happens to me. So be careful. Figure out what your trigger is. What are the signs that make you go, uh-oh, here I am. I'm going to be unfaithful. We need to seek the Holy Spirit's reinforcement. Develop positive spiritual habits. Look, I'm going to tell you something. There's a word that goes with faithfulness. I don't really talk about it in the definition, but I know very few people that are undisciplined that are faithful. The word discipline and faithful go together. I don't know how you live a reliable, undisciplined life. That's a hard concept for us because most of us, we don't want to be disciplined because discipline implies by its nature that somebody gets to tell me when to do whatever I want to do. And I don't like that because I'm an American and I'm free and I get to choose and all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you something. If you don't have some discipline, you don't have some discipline in your spiritual habits, it is hard to be faithful to God. And if you're struggling with faithfulness, I bet you we could sit right here and make a list of some areas where you are having trouble being disciplined in your walk with God. It's hard to be faithful to a God you don't ever talk to. It's hard to be faithful to a God that you never hear from because you can't read His Word. It's hard to be faithful to someone you have no relationship with. It's hard to be faithful when you have nobody to hold you accountable, when you're not together with people of a like faith. So be careful. Understand that these words go together. And I think part of it is knowing that, you know what? I'm going to get knocked down. Get up. Get back at it. I can promise you this. I know about this sermon today. There's going to be somebody that leaves here today out of this crowd, this small group this morning, going to be unfaithful next week. It's going to happen. How do I deal with it? I get up and I get back at it. I don't give up. I don't stop. If there was one guy in all of Scripture that I would say, I can really connect to, it might be Peter. He's one of my heroes. You know why? Peter is forever messing it up. He is forever opening his mouth and messing it up. And he is forever doing what? Getting up and getting back at it. Of all the guys that would be picked to give that sermon on Pentecost, to preach that first gospel message, I am astounded at times it is Peter because he is the guy that is always messing it up. You know, if you were to watch the life of Paul, he experienced all kinds of persecution and discouragement, all kinds of temptation, but he doesn't give up. And I want you to listen to Paul. This is the hope of a life of faithfulness. Listen to what Paul says as he's about to die in 2 Timothy. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Wow. See, that's what happens when I keep getting up. That's what happens when I'm disciplined in my walk with God. That's what happens when I'm faithful. I stand at the end of this time, this segment of my being here on earth, and I say, I have fought the good fight. I have been faithful. I want to take you to Galatians 5 and read to you what the Scripture records for us about this. It says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Folks, for a long time, nobody looked into my life and even conceived that I could look like that. That love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness could be me. But the Creator of the world, the giver of Christ Jesus Himself, the Son of God, looks down into our lives and He says to each one of us, "In me, you can be this. Without me, there's no hope." And the frustration for us when we preach these kind of series is I think sometimes we forget the idea that's very simple. Outside of Him, you will never be that. Inside of Him, you will be that. It's not if, it's not maybe, it's not are you, it's not, well, you know, Billy, you're the preacher, you get it. Will, you're the preacher, you get it. You don't get it. Maybe you get some of it, you get two-thirds of it. It is all of that. That's what He sees in me. That's what He, you know, nobody ever came to Billy and said, "Hey, Billy, we think you need to go out for the basketball team and be the center." Why? Because I'm 5'11" and I can't jump. I can't play. It's obvious to see it's not in me. And folks, if we could get one thing out of our series, if we could grasp a hold of this idea that this is what I could be, this could be my identity, this could be who I am, this could be the kind of person that I am, this could be the way that I live, this could be what other people see in me, is that I could be filled with these things. Folks, that is astounding. And to know that God sees so much value and so much worth in Billy that He could attach these ideas, these characteristics to me through His Son and a relationship with Him and by the filling of His Spirit, folks, that changes to everything I do and everything I think about and how I breathe. Because now I can be something that I never could be outside of Christ. I can be faithful to a God that died for me through His grace and His mercy. Folks, take a hold of it. Get our arms around it. It's not a maybe. It's not like a, you know, I'm changing my ideas about saving for retirement. Retirement does not seem like it as far away as it used to be. Unfortunately, I don't know how you look at that. I guess it'll depend on what's there when I retire. You know, when they were talking to me about retiring when I was, you know, I remember my dad telling me, "Son, you ought to save. You're going to want to quit work one day, retire. You'll be old like me." I'm 25. I'm going to work forever. I ain't never going to retire. Retire for old people. I can see the value in that now as I approach that. Folks, I wish we could just, as the body of Christ, take hold of the value in being what God called us to be if we'll walk in step with the Spirit. It's when we don't embrace these ideas that we rob our ability to share Christ with our community. So here's the question. Are you faithful? Are you faithful in just the things that you want to be faithful in? Have you got your own list to be faithful? Or are you living a life that's marked by faithfulness where you hang on even when it's tough so people will see Christ in you? Let's pray. Father God,